Welcome to the Lake Forest Podcast, a podcast about the lovely city of Lake Forest, featuring topics like local news, sports, music, people, food, and mayoral elections. My name is Pete. I'm joined with the voice of Lake Forest High School basketball, football, lacrosse, chess team. Skew, woo, woo, woo.
The Lake Forest Podcast is supported by viewers, listeners, and businesses just like you. Make a memory of a lifetime at Shark Eye Outdoors out of Longboat Key, Florida. Experience their shark beach fishing, kayak tours, and fossil hunting. Go to sharkeyeoutdoors.com and schedule an outing now. Forest Bluff Real Estate Group serves Illinois, Wisconsin, Lake Forest, and Lake Bluff. John Josephitis, Laura Lee Van Fleet, and Michelle Parnell get a free market analysis now at forestbluffrealestate.com. For the best cannabis in the world, look no further than Iliad Epic Grow. They're a cannabis cultivation center owned by Lake Bluff's own Rich Ruzich. They focus on hard-to-find small batch products that will delight both the occasional user and ganjier. When visiting Michigan, ask for it by name. Epic Products, exceptional process. Iliad Epic Grow. For more information, email info@iliadgrow.com. Havy Communications has been helping first responders arrive safely since 1983. It's owned by Lake Forest's own Mike Havy. Check them out at havycommunications.com.
Paul Hammond, candidate for Lake Forest Mayor, April 4th, 2023. He's a lifetime resident of Lake Forest, licensed professional engineer in Illinois, registered energy professional in Chicago, Purdue Electrical Engineering graduate, BSEE 1979, commodity trader for over 40 years. He's running on the issues of stopping the plastic grass in Lake Forest parks. Because every 10 years, a plastic field needs to be replaced because of deterioration and wear. Email paul.hammond.pe@gmail.com.
We'd also like to say that we're thankful for patron supporters, Reverend Luke Beck from the Church of the Holy Spirit,
Matt A., Elizabeth C., Costa, Lance, Otto, RDM, John C., Dan Rogers, and Mike Adelman.
Shout out to the Lake Forest Breakfast Group, Rod Stop in Kenosha, Captain Mike's Kenosha, Greentown Tavern in Waukegan, and the Frolic Lounge in Waukegan.
Walker, how you doing, Scoop?
Morning, Pete. How are you? Beautiful.
Looks
Saturday.
Beautiful Saturday. a lot of heavy wet snow we had on Thursday.
And a shovel. Guessing.
We'll see if it really comes down. Everybody knows.
Hard to shovel.
Don't want a heart grabber. Hey, who do we have next to us here, Scoo? We have Joe Weiss, recent mover to the Lake Forest. Joe Weiss, thank you for coming on, my friend.
Welcome, Joe.
Thanks, guys. I feel you've got this podcast going about Lake Forest, and I've only lived here less than a year. So I feel like Ross Perot's running mate in that debate years ago. Who am I? Why am I here?
Come on. he had a rough go of it.
So, Admiral Joe, Stockdale.
Yeah, Stockdale. In fact, I got his book up on the shelf up there.
Good man.
So Joe Weiss, Scoo's been around Lake Forest forever. I don't think I'm a newcomer anymore. Am I, Scoo?
I've pushed you aside.
can I be in
grade school? Jury's still out.
Jury's still out? All right. Depends on how the show goes. And Joe's like less than a year here. And how Joe and I got to know each other. You know, we have no fact checkers on this show, Joe, and I put some facts out on the interweb, and you were kind enough to explain to me that I got it incorrect. One of the things I got wrong, because, you know, we are the truth of Lake Forest. We have a mayoral election, and we have one candidate that I thought donated over 400 grand to the Democratic Party, and I was incorrect. I was incorrect by over $600,000. Is that true, Joe?
Yeah. If you take the records from the Illinois State Board of Elections, which is all the state and local candidates, and then the records from the Federal Election Commission, which is any federal office, you know, congressman, U.S. senator, president, add that together, she's donated over $1 million to either the Democratic Party itself or to Democratic candidates. And it's a who's who of the Democratic Party, you know, we've.
The first thing is,
if you want to get into some of the names here, and we'll get into it.
But I want to. You corrected me on the figure number one. Then I'm like, who the hell is this guy? Well, number one, he's right. But how do you know so much? What's your background, Joe?
Oh, my background. So, a few things. I grew up in the Niles Township area, Skokie, Morton Grove. Went to Niles North back when we played Lake Forest in the North Suburban Conference in the 80s, Scoo. So, yeah. I interned for Governor Thompson back in the day, and when I was in, I went to Loyola University and got involved there and got in on his last campaign, and then Governor Edgar, Judy Barr Topinka, Leslie Munger, Bruce Rauner, a lot of moderate Republican people, Bob Dold. I readily admit, you know, you had guests on last week about the referendum. I readily admit I'm a Republican. I'm not going to talk about the referendum. That was last week's show. So we're going to talk about the mayoral race. I was a village trustee in Morton Grove for 4 years. And then I was on the District 219 Niles Township High School Board of Education for 8 years. So I've been involved both as a candidate and an office holder, as well as in the political campaigns and in public policy with, you know, Comptroller Munger, Comptroller Topinka before she passed away, the governors that I mentioned as well. So, I followed this stuff, and I knew right away. I mean, and there's no trade secret here. Anyone can go to the Federal Election Commission website and look up campaign donations. You can go to the State Board of Election website and look up the state and local. There are a few websites out there like Open Secrets that then kind of try and put the two together, but I like to go to the original source on it. And so that's where I got the information. And it blew me away seeing how, you know, someone saying they're running for mayor as a nonpartisan, as an independent, that they'll be bipartisan when they're mayor, and if they gave over $1 million to one party.
To be fair, I think she's taking the nonpartisan out of her material.
Well, I think we kind of call her on that. You know, look, when I was a trustee in Morton Grove way back in 99 to 03, our mayor at the time, Dan Scanlon, late great Dan Scanlon, was a Democrat. Okay. And we kind of had, we didn't call it the caucus. We had a thing called the Action Party, which they made it a kind of an informal, unwritten rule that they'd have people from both parties involved. They didn't want to get too partisan. I worked great with Dan. He and I'd like to think he worked well with me. So I don't have a problem with, I'm not against Democrats. I'm a very moderate Republican. You heard the names that I mentioned of the people I've worked for. These are people that did very well in Lake Forest when they were on the ballot. But I'm troubled that someone can come in to office. And I don't know any of these candidates. I'm not part of the caucus. So I guess technically as a resident, I am. I wish I had known about that when they had that big meeting, I would have gone. Right. But I was still unpacking boxes, so I kind of missed that. I'll go next time, I guess. I was troubled by, that there would be someone coming in really tipping the scales on the partisanship level. Like I said, she has, I've not met any of them, but they all seem like nice people. But I have an issue with someone that heavily partisan, particularly this is Lake Forest. This is not Evanston. This is not Chicago. This is not, this is not even Highland Park, where their mayor is very partisan, appeared in the governor's reelection campaign commercials. I think Lake Forest is a very bipartisan community. Yeah, some Democrats have done well here, but the names that I mentioned have done well as well. So how do I, and I think the vast majority of residents are probably more like SCU, where they're independents. They don't identify as a Democrat or a Republican. And that's, how do they feel with having the leader of their community be so in your face to one party, whether it's the Democrat Party or the Republican Party. You know, Dick Uihlein lives in Lake Forest. I'm sure if he was running for mayor, that these same issues would come up with all the money he's given to Republicans. I think it's a fair question to ask.
Well, people are afraid to ask because nobody wants to make waves. So there's fear, uncertainty, and doubt from both sides. And from somebody giving $1 million, let's just say a good chunk went to Kim Fox, who Prue Beidler's daughter-in-law had a job working for, you know, whatever. The reason why it's such a big issue that people are telling me about it is because they're worried about public safety, because we have people hopping on the trains coming to Lake Forest. I don't know if anybody have seen, you know, a lot more stranger people around town, but they're coming in town. If they do something, then you have, is it Eric Reinhart?
Yeah. He's Aaron? Kim Fox Jr.
Yeah. So
Lake County State's attorney.
Yeah. So that's the number one thing that people are worried about on the public safety issue. If you spend that much money working with those people, are you going to slowly turn Lake Forest into Chicago? Now, Scoo, I know you're going to say never going to happen, but
I think we're jumping to a fearing answer to, you know, the mayoral election in Lake Forest that we're going to be overcome by crime in Lake Forest. I doubt it.
No, you're right, Scoo. But we have, yeah, I know. Lake Forest is not an island either.
There was people have been coming up, you know, for the last X amount of years, stealing cars and all that. That's a whole, you know, rampant on the North Shore, not just Lake Forest.
Sure.
You know, so I guess, you know.
Well, people,
is that still going to happen?
I mean, there was just a carjacking in Libertyville,
right?
Not too long ago, and that could very easily happen, unfortunately. Sure. In our community. I mean, and I think the concern, you know, again, I talked about the overwhelming partisanship, but the Kim Fox donations, where she gave a total of about almost around $15,000 to Kim Fox. She's literally the only resident of Lake Forest to have given money to Kim Fox's campaign, who's the Cook County State's attorney, and we're here in Lake County. It begged the question why, but now I think we're getting to know why. But she gave money both to Kim Fox's election in 2016, as well as Kim Fox's re-election in 2020. So I know there's been some people out there online saying, oh, I talked to Prue about this, and she was disappointed in Kim. She thought Kim Fox would reduce crime, and she's been very disappointed in her.
She's afraid of her kids in the city. Public safety.
All the bad stuff about Kim Fox came out before her re-election. You know, she was elected in 16 basically against Anita Alvarez because of the Laquan McDonald shooting and how that was handled by the state's attorney's office. But then, so Fox gets in there and is just an absolute disaster as state's attorney. And only got reelected because she had a D next to her name. And many Democrats refused to endorse her when she ran for reelection. If it hadn't been that presidential election with the whole, you know, Biden-Trump battle on the top of the ballot, she might have lost. If it had been just, you know, if the election had been about Kim Fox and her opponent in 2020, she might have lost. She did 20 points worse than all the other Cook County Democrats. But back to Lake Forest here. She's, you know, if you talk to any law enforcement officer, I don't have friends in the Lake Forest Police Department, but I have friends in several other police departments, including Chicago. And you're not going to find you'd be hard pressed to find a police officer that likes Kim Fox or thinks that, you know, has any respect for Kim Fox, because they don't feel she respects them. Suddenly you've got a mayor, you know, and I understand that the mayor's role is different than the mayor in other cities. It's rather limited, though. She doesn't seem to portray that in her campaign ads. She's going to do all these things for Lake Forest. But when you call her on something like this, they're like, oh, well, the mayor has nothing to do with that. Well, she's trying to have it both ways. But How are the men and women of the Lake Forest Police going to feel if the leader of their community supported the election and re-election of Kim Fox, who is one of the most disliked people by law enforcement today, and understandably so. So, I mean, and now it's coming up.
I think you're going to have, the mayor has no power over crime prevention or anything in Lake Forest. Let's separate out. Kind of like we were doing last week, kind of bringing other communities into Lake Forest and saying, this is how it should be. Well, I mean, she doesn't have any power. If she were to even win, there's no power in the mayor's office except for, you know, PR as well as running the city council meeting and casting a vote on a tie.
Right, when there's a tie. But you're absolutely right, Scoop. But the mayor of Highland Park doesn't have any power either. But Nancy Roetering has turned that into a very partisan job. And actually, you know, technically, the mayor of Chicago doesn't. I mean, the mayor of Chicago has more power than the mayor of Lake Forest, no question. But the mayor of Chicago can't do anything unless the city council does it. That said, the mayor, whoever it is, by virtue of their prominence, has
the ability to say
And Prue Beidler herself, in her campaign ads, talks about how she's going to bring this to Lake Forest and do that for Lake Forest and all that. So, but then when these issues come up and you call her on it, her or her supporters say, oh, well, the mayor has nothing to do with that. So she's trying to have it both ways. She's trying to say, I'm running for mayor, and she's spending $100,000 of her own money for an office that has no power, as you just said, or little power.
I want to get to that.
But then she's promising the moon and the sun to everyone.
Yeah.
Scoop, correct me. The power, the only thing that Prue or Randy could do is, if they wanted to, is reject all the people that they don't like that the caucus puts in front of them. Is that correct? So they could populate boards and commissions with people they want. So if that would happen, let's just say you populated, worst case scenario, all Democrat or whatever, there could be some policy changes, don't you think?
No. I mean, again, we kind of jump from what's going on to like, oh my God, the world's going to end if Prue Beidler's mayor. And it's not. I mean, the uniqueness about Lake Forest is that it runs on a caucus system, different from Highland Park, different from Chicago, different. And, you know, the nice thing about it is this caucus, you know, it has its works like everything, but support, and they populate these boards and commissions, and we elect, you know, the representation, the four wards, the people in there to represent the community when they're interviewing and all this. So yeah, there is, you know, opportunity to, you know, have more Republicans than Democrats, but you know, that the whole idea around this is
when you say there's no power, there is power in that. That's all I'm saying.
Not really. When you check your partisanship, the process is, if the people that are on the committee do their job the right way, you know, you don't have this stuff, and that's the beauty of it. And you know, stuff like Prue, it's an anomaly. She didn't get her way, and you know, now she's, you know, spending all her money to, you know, try to get elected to a position that, you know, I don't even think she understands what it is. And that's the funniest part about it, is that you know, the first question I would ask is, why would you spend so much of your own money, I don't care if you have money or not, to take this, be in this position, you know? And, oh, I want to do this. And I mean, she back and forth on every topic. She has an answer for every wrong thing she said. And, you know, it's just not a, you know, that's the prop. I think the strength of the caucus is weeding people like her out. And you know what? Weed her out to run against. And, you know,
well, unfortunately, they weeded Kathy Waldeck out for Prue. Joe, well, you going to say
that,
something?
You know, everyone has their works, Pete. You know that more than anyone.
I had someone contact me about saying, and again, I'm new to all this, so Scoo, you're the best expert here. But someone said to me that if they've heard from several council members that if Prue gets on, gets elected, that they're going to resign, and then Pru is going to appoint the new council. I don't know. Is that?
No, that's all. You know, yeah. I don't know anyone that would resign from alderman because of a mayor that has no power wielding over them. I mean, it just, and then I say the aldermen have, there's, you know, aldermen coming in, aldermen going out in a year or so. So, I mean, it's this, you know, it all comes down to the process. I mean,
but what's happened as a result of Pru's candidacy is she's injected this whole partisan tone to it, and this whole spending. I mean, she's elevated the cost of serving in this, voluntary $10 a year position that has limited power. She's elevated the cost of that to where, you know, a lot of people aren't going to be able to run down the road if that continues. And like I said,
that's not true. I mean, again, that's not true, because when you go through the process, if you raise your hand to volunteer, and so you may raise your hand to be mayor, or someone comes knocking at your door and say, hey, why don't you run for mayor? The cost issue is not an issue when you go through the process and get nominated like Randy did the right way through the caucus. You're not spending that. The spend comes from the caucus, and that's the community, whether donating money or not. The expense is on the person that says, you know what, I'm going to run against it because I think this is bullshit and I didn't get my way, so I'm going to run. So God bless you, run, but no one's supporting you financially except yourself, and you have to go drum up those people.
But now, she's jacked up. She's forced the caucus to raise and spend a lot more money. I mean,
that's a misnomer. Caucus, anytime there's a contested election with the caucus, money becomes, they have to raise money too. And that's the whole idea behind the community donating money to the caucus along the way, so they have money in the coffer, so to speak, when there is a contested election. And typically there's not contested elections because the process works. But, you know, when there is, you know, sometimes you got people running, you know, against a mayoral candidate like we have here. Pru is unique because there's rarely someone that supports the caucus for her entire life and then doesn't get her way and then runs against it. And you have people that, you know, like Paul Hammond. You get people like that all the time that say, I want to run against, you know, the caucus for whatever reason. And, you know, that's, you got to come up with your own money to do that. And, you know, it's like signs. I don't see Paul Hammond. So that's the, he doesn't want to spend the money.
We took half the show.
Only money he spent is sponsoring this show here. So I think one of your sponsors.
It's support. It's support.
Support. Excuse me. Sorry.
Thank you. So, okay. So that's the partisanship thing. So to Pru's credit, she took the nonpartisanship thing out. So credit to Pru.
Because she got called on it.
Well,
she's not partisan. Let's be honest. You know, there's a process called the caucus committee that tries to be as partisan as possible.
Yeah.
When you deviate outside of that and you still try to couple yourself to partisanship and say you're independent, you're not independent.
Right.
She's clearly a chosen party, and, you know, she's trying to lie to people by saying she's independent, and she's not.
Right. Well, and that's why I wanted to bring all of her donations to light. Like I said, the vast majority of residents of Lake Forest are not Democrats. They're either Republicans or they're independents. So, you know, and to have someone so hyper-partisan in their campaign donations, $1 million to, you know, Kim Fox and to Madigan and it doesn't matter, but it does to many residents. Like I said, if Dick Uihlein was running for mayor of Lake Forest, you'd hear the exact same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I get it. So, well, look, people are talking about this, and I gave Pru credit for saying she's not nonpartisan anymore. I'm going to slam her again because, Pru, third text I've sent you, I asked you for a comment on the donations after the Kim Fox thing, cricket. So all I can do is go by what people tell me and allegedly
you're sending it to the wrong person. You have to send it to her, team of people that are
Senator Garrett.
Yeah, let's talk about Senator Garrett, because allegedly, well, actually, it's not allegedly. I've seen one instance of this where the two of them go into a storefront, and if they see Randy Tack sign in the window, I heard the yelling, and then when I heard what happened afterwards, the term boycott was brought up several times, that if the sign didn't come, Randy Tack sign didn't come up, come down, that they would boycott the business. And these small businesses, they're like, hey, man, I don't want no trouble. And then some of them just go in the corner. I don't think, if that's true, allegedly, if that's true, I left Chicago to get away from that stuff. Why does Chicago seem to be
following? It's, you know, when I first heard about this from you, Pete, it's really disappointing to hear that someone like Senator Garrett would stoop that low. I could see random people that, you know, playing the whole sign games and the stealing signs and all that. Those of us that worked in politics, we kind of laugh about the signs. It's like, okay, you know, if we spend as much time worrying about other parts of the campaign that are much more productive in getting votes than signs, whatever. But I'm really, if what is said is true,
yeah,
it's really disappointing to hear that someone, a former member of the state legislature, particularly one that now is involved in a group that's supposed to be bipartisan, that the Center for Politics or whatever it's called that she's part of, would stoop to that level. What I would say to the business owners is look at the history of boycotts, both from the left and the right, over things. They don't work. All right. So what happens is,
if you have a good product.
Yeah. And also, here's what happens, though. If Prude's supporters were to come out and say, I'm going to boycott this, we're going to boycott this business, you know what's going to happen? Randy Tack supporters are going to patronize that business like there's no tomorrow. It's like when they boycotted Chick-fil-A or when the conservatives boycotted Starbucks. It doesn't work. All right. So every business owner should feel free to do whatever they want, put whatever sign they want up, or put up, you know, Morton Grove, some of them used to put up both signs, some of them put up none, whatever. But people shouldn't feel intimidated. And if it's true that Senator Garrett is doing that, it's very disappointing, number one. And number two, it highlights and underscores that here's nonpartisan Prue getting, you know, she's getting endorsed and backed and maybe even sign pushing by a Democrat state legislator. I mean, come on. Prue's trying to have it both ways on the partisan issue, but back to the sign issue, it's really disappointing if this is true.
Scoo, have you heard anything?
It is true. I mean, Pete, you saw it firsthand.
I saw it at Gerhardt's,
It's not a rumor, it's a fact.
Okay, then it's really...
The rumor is that she did it to another business. And if that's true,
several.
You know, doing it once, I mean, you've done it. It's been proven. It's fact that she did it. I mean, it's, you know, people need to understand. And unfortunately, people in the community they're rallying behind Prue, are believing that her shenanigans are, you know, the right thing. And they're not educating themselves on the process. For example, the big email she sent out to encourage everyone to come out and vote at the caucus meet and greet for the slate of candidates, you know, that's spun that to complete falsehood on the fact that, you know, the people spoke because she emailed 200 of her friends to come out and vote against the slate and that the people have spoken. That's not true. That's not a binding vote. It never was. The vote is to approve the process that was completed by the caucus. But, you know, according to her, you know, she was slighted, you know, and so it starts from there. And it's the education and understanding of how our community works. Unfortunately, people don't want to. And there are people out there that are, you know, don't appreciate the caucus process and have issues with it, which is fine. But at the end of the day, that's how we operate. And, you know, people can run against the slate anytime they want. But, you know, the way she's going about it, she's lying. She's spinning truths to people that aren't willing to understand what really happened. And, you know, it's just, and she's got expert politicians like Susan Garrett helping her spin the lies. And that's all it is. I mean, it's lies.
Scoo, have you seen this before, though? Like threatening a business to take down a sign?
In Lake Forest? No.
Joe, what about you at Glenview?
But we've never had a contested election where somebody has felt completely slighted by a process that she supported for years upon years and a process that got her to an alderman spot. Yeah. You know, and you know, and now because for the third time in a row, she's been turned down by three separate caucuses. You know, she feels like, you know, she's been spurned, but no, this has never happened. I mean, you get people that run against the process because they have an issue. I hate to say Paul Hammond, but he has issues with certain things that have happened in the community, so he's running. Well, yeah, that's great. But, you know, go through it. Why didn't you go through the process? Didn't want it. That's fine. You can run, but Crew is using the process that helped her get to, you know, I was mayor or I was alderman. Well, you're alderman because of the process you support. Now you're going against it and cheating it.
And Randy Tack was an alderman too, right? Huh? Randy Tack was an alderman.
Yeah, Randy Tack was an alderman with Prue, and you know, play the tape. How she
raves about you, and it's a little bit what Bob said. You would, I could count on you getting me to look at things from a different point of view. And I think having the opportunity to have somebody you can really rely on to go, but, you know, or have we considered? And you're really good at that. And I think you also, and I would say with Bob, very thoughtful. And often quite unique perspectives. And Randy worked incredibly hard on the pension conversation and brought some real insights to that are enormously valuable. And we will think of as we watch that line not cross. There has never been any question in any of our minds of your utter commitment to the community and your ability to express it in your own absolutely, I'll say it again, unique way. But you've added enormous value to our discussion, and I thank you for that.
Thank you.
About how great an alderman and a mentor when he came off the council. This is a question that is, you know, continues to be a missing, and you know, should it be or not? Randy Tack was a better alderman than Prue was. Randy Tack was asked to lead committees while he was alderman. Prue wasn't. Prue was asked to co-chair or co-lead committees. That's a big difference.
Can you tell me if this is true or not?
Yeah.
On Prue being an alderman or whatever these things, she would rally really hard to lead these things, and then once she got appointed to them, she disappeared.
Well, I don't know how true.
Meaning
that
like
is,
not showing up or.
Well, yeah,
that's one of those.
That's why, you know, Prue's strength, if there is one, is fundraising. She's a good fundraiser and has been, and it's been proven. She's not a good leader. And that's, you know, again, the process warts or whatever, you know, Kathy Waldeck, you know, I know, you know, she was a good candidate, but something happened in the interview process along the way, just like, you know, everything else that occurs. And, you know, Prue somehow got through the chain of command. But you got to understand, you know, here's another thing that Prue did. You know, these aldermen, when they're being moved along, or not aldermen, but when you're running for mayor and all, you're asked a question by the caucus. You know, if you don't get the nod, are you going to run against the caucus? And that's a weeding process, to be honest with you. You know what Prue said? No, I'm not going to run against the caucus.
So she lied to them.
Yeah, she lied to them.
And basis.
And who knows what the interview, you know, questions were with Kathy. I thought Kathy would have been a fabulous candidate. But who knows at the time what that what questions were asked. And the caucus felt Prue was better. But Prue said, if I don't get it, I'm going to run. She wouldn't have been moved up.
her whole basis for part of the basis for her running was, if I'm not mistaken, you correct me if I'm wrong, but she put in there she was disappointed to learn that no women were slated for office, whether it be for mayor or for city council. You know, and I'm all for bringing more women into government and politics. If, you know, I think I, but the one of the women I worked for, Judy Bartopinka, who would have been the first female governor of Illinois and was running against a guy who later wound up in jail, Prue Beidler wrote a check to Rod Blagojevich. So when I hear Prue Beidler talking about wanting more women in government, I call BS. Well, because when you had a chance, and I get it's a little different, Scoo, but when you had a chance to elect arguably the most liberal Republican in the history of Illinois, Judy Bartopinka, against a guy who was already under investigation in 2006. Again, this is all, I know this is almost 20 years ago, but Prue stood with Rod Blagojevich, not Judy Bartopinka. So I call BS. She wants more women in government that she agrees with. And well, and maybe this is her, but you know, whatever. I call BS on that.
I would say that you know, Prue's not it. Let's just put it this way. I mean, and I've said this. I've liked Prue. I've worked with her, lovely lady, and all that. But she could not successfully run for mayor on her own without her handlers. And she's listening to the wrong people that have their own agendas. And, you know, that's kind of the definition of a leader, I think, is that if you can't, you know, speak for yourself, she's not speaking for herself, because if she was, you know, I think her biggest struggle is she wholeheartedly supports the caucus process. And she shares that because she says, oh, when I'm, you know, if I were elected mayor, I'm just not going to get rid of the caucus. I'm going to work with them. She wholeheartedly believes in it, but she's got people surrounding her that, number one, feel the caucus slighted them in some way. Or number two, a politician, ex-politician, who seemingly, it seems like, wants to be back in the game. And, you know, is taking a stance like the woman issue, which it shouldn't be. There should be no gender specific. It's like the best qualified person. And the beauty about the caucus is it does take out, is it a man or a woman? It's the best person. That's why you have everyone interview and ask questions. And, you know, the best person comes out. And guess what? This round, Randy was the best person they felt could run as mayor. So, but people are telling her, no, this is the time to insert yourself as, you know, it's time for a woman, which I think is shameful that that has even been talked about by her and her camp.
I'd respect Prue more if she just said, vote for me because I'm a Democrat and I'm a female. I can respect that. All this other stuff, the gamesmanship, I don't respect. I don't respect somebody that, hey, come on the show or meet me face to face. Let's have a conversation. No. Two, come on the show. I got these things to ask you about. No. Prue Beidler and Susan Garrity. Won't. Garrett.
Don't. Garrett. We just had Garrity. No relation. Right. And I agree with you, Pete. I mean, I respect Prue until she did what she did. If she would have just come on and said, you know what, first off, if I don't get elected or nominated by the caucus, she should have said, you know, because she knew that she was going to run no matter what, either via the caucus support or on her own. If she said no, she would have been tossed out, first off.
Yeah.
She lied. So then she went through the process of, you know, okay, I didn't get it. So now I'm going to leverage what I know about the caucus and its warts or whatever, and I'm going to twist it on them. And I mean, that's just that. If she would have just said, you know what, I didn't get it, but I'm going to run on my own, more respect for her that way and see what happens. No, she had to then go back and start manipulating the process to get more people to believe her that she got screwed. And she didn't get screwed. She didn't get screwed in any way. She got three times. She got turned down by three separate caucuses. So that tells me that something was wrong in her interview process. And
Joe, all the data that's been put out there, and my new catchphrase is, you know, is it true, Prue and Sue? Not even their handlers, not even their echo chambers can say yes, it's or no, it's not true.
Right.
Right.
That's so a very good point. I mean, when I put out the and you can go to tinyurl.com/paytoplayprue and get a read the list of all her campaign donations. But when I did that, or when you called out, or when that article came out over the weekend, last weekend about
Kim Fox,
about the Kim Fox, the specific, we just thought she was supporting Kim Fox because she believed in Kim Fox as state's attorney. But now we're seeing that, you know, her daughter-in-law got a job with Kim Fox's office and with the Chicago mayor's office, where she also gave money to Lightfoot and Emanuel. You know, that
is it true?
No one can deny this. No one's they'll attack you as the messenger. They'll attack the Lake County Gazette because yeah. I mean, no one would. What Prue should really do, if I was advising Prue, and like she's going to take advice from me, but
or me,
if I was, I would have her come on your show. I would have her sit on your show with you two guys and answer these questions.
Well, I think that when you talk about advising, Prue has gotten a lot of advice from prior aldermen that were friends and have told her. This is a mistake from, you know, the overall process in the city, yeah. But also personally, she's damaging herself, whether she wins or not. I mean, the irreparable damage personally and what she's going about, because each time it's like a different, call it a lie or a spin, whatever it might be. I mean, they brought in the railroad stuff already again. I mean, you know,
blame Lincoln.
Well, the thing is, this whole railroad issue, it's like, you know, they're spinning it like, you know, she's going to change it. The city has no control over what the railroad wants to do. If they want to build it, they're going to build it. And they keep spinning like, oh, we're going to change it. We're going to, you know.
Well, she gave so much money to Jan Schakowsky and Brad Schneider that maybe she can just call them up and have them. But
they're not going to be able to do anything if the railroad decides to do what they want to do. They're doing it, whether Glenview or all the
and I lived in Glen. I used to live in Glenview when that last railroad debate occurred, and I appreciated what Randy Tack said on your show about how Glenview spent all this money on consultants and lobbyists, and they paid for yard signs that people were putting in their house. And I'm like, the railroad company's going to drive by all these houses and care about these yard signs? I don't think so. the village of Glenview spent a lot of money on this, but that wasn't what affected the outcome of it. To your point, Scoo, it's good if, you know, this is a greater issue than any one city or even a group of cities pulling together. I mean, yeah, they can go meet with their congressmen and their U.S. senator and stuff.
The railroad's going to do what they want to do.
Right. Exactly. I mean,
and the other thing about that is, you know what? Raise your hand, living in Lake Forest, if they got to build a sidetrack or something. And oh, guess what? Now Lake Forest has a stop to Milwaukee. All those people screaming, if that ever was to happen, against it, that get on the train and say, I love this. I can just ride up to Milwaukee now. Raise your hand, people, if you wouldn't like that. I know I would. How about everyone going to the Springsteen concert last night? They could have jumped on the train in Westlake Forest and gone up to Milwaukee and then jumped on it back to come home. Hey.
All right, let's get on to the next thing, guys. So if Prue won't answer, come on the show, she or her handlers and supporters won't answer the question, is it true, Prue and Sue? you have the debate coming up with the League of Women Voters, and there is a picture floating around from a parade where Prue Beidler's marching front and center with a League of Women Voters sign.
Wow.
Scoo, how can you get a fair shake if that's who's running the parade for the League of Women Voters? Or am I looking at it wrong?
Let's rewind, what, 6 or 7 or 6 months ago when we were talking about this? And we said, you know, that's going to be interesting if someone runs on the ticket of, you know, it's time for a woman, that the only group that has a debate, so to speak, for candidates is the League of Women Voters of Lake Forest and Lake Bluff. Now, I know they claim that it's going to be not, they have an outside person come in and all that to, you know, regulate it, or the conversation.
No agenda.
But I mean, you got to, I believe you have to submit your questions and all that. And you know, if I have a question, is that going to get, you know, bypassed? So I don't know. I just think it's, I don't know.
Well, that's Wednesday, we'll March 15th.
I don't think that conversation is going to drive who gets elected. I think it's, you know, who shows up there and, you know, what questions and how the candidates handle the questions. But I just don't think the League of Women Voters is that powerful in the community to drive.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it certainly gives the appearance of a lack of objectivity. There's no question. That said, my experience, I was in candidate debates back when I ran. The goal in those debates for a candidate is to come out of there without saying anything offensive. A gotcha moment, you know, something or something really stupid or something that they'll hold against you. So everybody in that room is going to be a supporter of one of the candidates. Probably.
Right.
Are they going to air it on the internet or, you know, I don't know.
I think the last time this occurred, they had it on there on the internet or something, or on their website, I think it was. But, you know, it's just, I just think it's just going to be, you know, it's a conversation more than a debate. So, you know, questions are asked and then, you know, the candidates answer them. But I don't know. I honestly don't think Prue can sit up there and answer questions like that in a environment where there's an opposing view, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but see, your point of our point of I'm not sure what impact it has in the election. It's not like a presidential debate where every TV station breaks into prime time to cover it live and everything. So it's good that they're having it. I'm glad that it's happening. I wish that the League of Women Voters didn't have this shadow cast over them by the fact that Prue marched in their float or whatever that picture is. But you know, and maybe there'll be some undecided voters with some legitimate issue questions. Though again, if the mayor doesn't do anything, then what are the questions you want to ask him? Right?
Well, I mean, there's questions on, like, example is the railroad, is to answer questions on how he envisions how the city is going to work, you know, either way on it. I mean, it's, you know, it's not like, you know, I'm going to invoke martial law. And like, it's the council, you know, decides they guide the council and work with the city and get to shake hands with other mayors and take pictures and all that. But, you know, I mean, there are some duties they do, but again, it's not like it's, you know, going to change the world.
But you use the key word there, envisions. And the mayor, you know, Prue is trying to have it both ways. Like,
right.
That she wants to tell you what she envisions on certain issues, But then when we bring up these other issues, oh, well, the mayor has no control over
it. Yeah, like here's an example. She envisions more of a better way to development occurs in Lake Forest. Okay, that's great. But I guess here's the question is, when these boards and commissions decide, the building review board or plan commission or, you know, the historical preservation commission decide on something, you know, and it goes to city council for a vote, you know, if five people or four, you know, vote for it on the council, she's not involved in it. So it's, how are you going to do your better development when you don't really have a say in it? And I guess, you know, back to you, Pete, is like, oh, she's going to deny every.
Well, like Walden, she's saying, you know, I'm going to stick up for the historic district. And she, 10 years ago, she tried to, right?
And well, then and she's. I guess, you know, to get to your, you know, she's going to populate, you know, boards and commissions with who she wants. She can do that. But again, I mean, here's kind of the rub is somebody gets moved up to the mayor for appointment. The mayor, you know, it brings that to the council. You know, I'm bringing Pete Jansen's up for the Historical Preservation Commission. And then the council votes to approve it. So, I mean, it's like,
what's stopping the same process? Scoot, I'm sorry. I look at the worst case scenario and I hope for the best. Okay. What's stopping? Oh, if this works for the mayor selection, then why wouldn't it work for the alderman selection? What's so you that? Have, well, you can run this contested election for the alderman, right? Then you own the city council.
Okay. Why didn't there's three aldermen coming up? Why weren't there any, if proves this whole, you know, change the process and fix the process, why didn't Prue have a slate of candidates running against the caucus? Why is she the only one running against the caucus? You know, well, yes, they can all, everyone on the school board, everyone on the aldermen that are on the slate, I think there's three aldermen and four or five, or maybe.
Well, I think it started with Nancy Novit. You saw what she's doing now.
But I'm just saying, where's the list of, you know,
Nancy Novit?
If Prue wanted to really kind of change things, Pete, where's her slate of candidates?
Yeah, it's a very good point, Scoot, that she's not, this is all about Prue.
I know it is. That's my point I'm trying to make. It's like, if she's really looking for the city.
Where is her slate?
Yeah, she doesn't have a slate. And that's the funniest thing about it is that you're so against the process, but yet you and your team aren't, you're supporting the alderman and the school board and all that the caucus slated with Randy.
Scoot, all I'm saying is, look, is it going to happen? Is it 100% certain? No. Okay. But me seeing what happened, which is so funny and ironic that Jamie Moorhead is now he's riding the lead horse for Prue Beidler. He's the one that got screwed over by Nancy Novit for alderman.
And
okay.
I guess he's one of the examples of, you know, there's flaws in the system.
Yeah, I know. But that's one person, though. Nancy Novit, she's checking out of everything, right? She's abstaining from voting. And it starts there. That's all.
Right.
Keep an eye out. If we don't point it out, who's going to point it out?
Right. And all I'm saying is there's flaws in the committee selection process. And Prue's not going to change that if she's mayor. It has to start, you know, with the caucus itself and going back to selecting people, you know, not necessarily they're coming to you to, I want to be X, Y, and Z committee member or alderman. It's going out and shaking the bushes like they're supposed to and finding people that are raising their hand and say, I want to volunteer and help the community. And that's what some of the problems are right now is that they're not doing that. And it's hard. I'm not going to kid you. I was part of it. It's hard. But
when you have executive members that are hosting the events for the contested party.
Again, there's flaws in it and that's got to change. But, you know, that's.
I think treason is a flaw. So,
so again, you jump to the, you know, like treason. Come on, Pete. I mean, it's not treason.
If you're the executive committee for the caucus and you have somebody who's trying to disrupt it. And you don't do anything about it.
The president of the caucus should have asked them that person to step down. And that person should have stepped down too.
Well, he will in about less than a month. Governing that. I command
Do you think that she would, if she were to win, she would take over the caucus? Because I've seen that in other communities.
No. She can't. How?
Well, yeah, how?
She brings all her people in.
How? Again, I'm going to ask how.
I gave you a couple examples, Scoo.
Well, tell me. Okay, give me your example again, Pete.
Nancy Novit.
What about her?
She's an alderman.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you get another Nancy Novit in? How did it go, Joe? I don't know. I'm a novice on this.
You didn't listen to what I just said. Nancy Novit got brought up to the caucus through the caucus process, and then it went to the mayor for approval. I can guarantee you, when that was a vote by the alderman, you know, the mayor just doesn't, you know, it's got to be, you know, approved. Unfortunately, it's rubber stamped. I can guarantee you some people that voted for her to be on the council are second guessing that. And that's the process that it's got to be changed, where it's even more, you know, solidified with questioning before just rubber stamping it. And the mayor does not have, and I can guarantee you this whole process is being relooked at just from the fact that a mayor can appoint someone, yes, but the council's got to approve it.
I hate to be the smartest guy in the room, and that's why Joe is on the show. What should we look out for? What have you seen out there? Doesn't mean it's going to happen, but like, what should people are watching this and they're trying to make an informed decision. Not a lot of people go out to vote.
Yeah, they should be watching this then.
Well, some of your negative commenters there, Pete, would agree with it. But yeah, I think, you know, what I've been involved in local government, but I've also been involved in, you know, state government and campaigns and stuff. And I really think Lake Forest has a good thing going with this is a great place to live. We chose to live here. A lot of people are choosing to live here. And then you got, you know, lifetimers like Scoo here. This is a great community. And the city government is run very well, very pleased with the services. Then you have, and I like the fact, you know, that Randy is not a politician. I don't think he's given any money to any campaign other than the caucus. Again, I don't know him, but you know, he's a surgeon during the day. I mean, so he's a you know, a citizen servant here.
Who was asked to do it.
Yeah, and I'm troubled by someone, even forget the partisanship for a second, but just someone, and they have every right to do it. There's nothing illegal. It's, you know, this is America. You can do what you want, but then we have a right to object to it. I'm very troubled. Someone just saying, you know what? I want to be mayor so bad, I'm going to spend $100,000. And I'm going to get a state senator to come out and endorse me. And who knows who else she's going to have. We don't know. She talks about transparency. We don't know where she's spending her money. She hasn't disclosed her expenditures to the State Board of Elections. We caught
$300. $300.
Yeah. So, but she's put in over 100. Believe me, all the mail she's put in the mailboxes and all these web ads she's doing, it's more. She spent more than $300.
Well, she doesn't have to put the receipts till the day before, you say?
Yeah, but if you're for transparency, why don't you be transparent and tell us right? Tell us right away what you're spending on. But here's and you caught, you know, in that whole thing about the railroad debate, they took an excerpt from your show and put it on a YouTube channel, and you found that the YouTube channel was hosted by a guy who's worked on Democratic political campaigns. So I'm sure he's not doing this out of the goodness of his heart. He's getting paid. That's fair. But who else has she got? Is she gonna bring in the Lake County Democratic Party to come in and walk precincts for her? I mean, where else is this going? That she's taken what should be citizen involvement, just nice local elections here in a very well run community, and blown it up with all this money and I would argue all the partisanship.
And again, I would agree with you. Absolutely. But I would look at also, if I'm voting, is first off, the city is run spectacularly. Not yes. by city council, not by the mayor, but by the city staff. And working with those boards and commissions, you know, people move here for, you know, everything about Lake Forest, not necessarily the caucus process, but because of everything in there is because of how our government runs and operates.
Yeah, Joe, why'd you move here? You're less
well,
than
a year. A variety of reasons.
I mean, did you hear about God? There's a caucus system here in the in yeah, town.
I said, let's move to where there's a caucus. I had known, actually, one of my first jobs was in Lake Forest back in the 1980s. Scoot, do you remember the Haagen-Dazs ice cream shop on sure. Deer Path? Absolutely. It's now the Pizza Bakery.
Yeah.
The owner of that one also owned the one by Niles North in Old Orchard, and he bought that one and offered us double pay to go work there. So I worked for about a year in downtown Lake Forest. And then, you know, again, Niles North used to plan. But then we had been attending church here in Lake Forest for a number of years at Christ Church, Lake Forest. You had one of our pastors on a show about a year ago. And, you know, we have actually one of our kids had more friends in Lake Forest High School than in the high school back where we lived. And just there was an opening of and my wife works here in Lake County. Just there happened to be a house that someone told us about that was on the market through a realtor that we knew and a mutual friend, and all came together like, hey, let's go to Lake Forest. And I've been very, very happy that I learned about the Newcomers Club thanks to your show. Been to some great events as part of that. They do, I was going to tell your Tommy earlier, they do the guys do a bar meetup every month, and they rotate between Lake Forest, Lake Bluff, and Highwood. So we'll be sure to try and get their place on the Highwood rotation. What's that?
Toadstools.
So, but yeah, I think it's a terrific, I mean, just you should do a show, guys, on the dump and interview the guys at the dump, because that is a great service that most communities don't have, where you can just take your stuff out there and everything. But this is
I thought this was the dump.
Do you ever have garbage pickup twice a week in your community as well?
No,
as,
and the only other community that had it was Skokie had twice a week, and they just got rid of it. So I think Lake Forest is the last community, and I hope it stays. I really do.
Oh,
you know, back to though the mayor, I'll give you an example though. I never lived in Northbrook, but I live next to Northbrook in Glenview, and Northbrook was, I mean, it's not Lake Forest, but Northbrook had a nonpartisan municipal government. I don't know if they called it a caucus or what, but they had a very similar setup. And gradually what started happening was the local democratic organization there started slating people, running people, putting money behind them and stuff, to where now that whole village government is, the whole board, the mayor there is our Democrats. And they don't hide it. They sit at the front table of the Northfield Township Northfield Township Democratic Party dinner next to Governor Pritzker. They just voted in a 10-cent bag tax of, you know, every time you go to the grocery store, a 10-cent bag tax. So when you say the mayor doesn't necessarily have power, I'll go with that, Scoo, but over time, if they start running, if the Democratic organization comes in and starts, or the Republican organization, I don't want either party doing that. But if they start coming in, are they going to start doing things? You know, does Prue support a tax on bags at Jewel? Does Prue support that? You know, she gave money to Rahm Emanuel, who put in the Tody Preckwinkle, who put in the soda pop tax in Cook County.
Oh,
you know, are those things that they could do?
I guess here? Yeah, they could, but I just think it is too difficult for one person like her to all of a sudden, if she does win, change things. There's too much pushback, particularly with the whole process. Yeah, you have infiltrators or whatever you want to call them in the caucus process. But I just think there's just too much where it, you run into, you know, I can't imagine that. I would be shocked either party all of a sudden takes over the caucus thing. I mean, I guess I just look at it as, you know, when I was serving, you didn't know politics, who's who, which was the beauty. I mean, you knew some people, but the process worked so well through for 88 years because of, you know, checking your partisanship at the door, whether you wanted to or not, but you could pull out those people that are so partisan that you're like, yeah, you don't want to be on there. But, you know, I would just say, you know, when you're voting for this election, it's like, look at the past mayors. You're stewarding the process. You're not overtaking the process of being a mayor. You're stewarding the whole process for the city for that short time. And I would challenge you, you know, I look at the past 10 mayors. I couldn't tell you what political party they represent. And I think that's fantastic. I mean, that's just me, but unless you're looking up each looking up each mayor and saying that, but my point is, you know, someone that is now running that is pure partisan, which, you know, being partisan in Lake Forest in an elected office contradicts the Lake Forest caucus process. And that could prove to be not good. But I don't think it's going to be one where someone like her, if she did win, is going to, you know, flip everything, because she's not that smart enough to do that.
The difference between now and then, Scoop.
If she was elected mayor, you would see her flip-flop so quick of how she supports the caucus process and everything else. Guarantee you that. But she's doing what she's doing because she's being coached by people that think there's some gift at the end of the rainbow. And
no, there's a method to the madness, Scoop. I'm just telling you this. With social media, it's turned into an identity thing. It's different from back when you were doing it. You identify with your party now. Okay. So that's where you get into this echo chamber stuff, and you can influence.
Go ahead, Joe. When I was in Northfield Township, the last election was right after the January 6th riots, insurrection, whatever you want to call it. And they were, the Northfield Democrats were making everything into a referendum on January 6th. These local races, school board, city, village board, you know, township office, all these local offices where you had good people on both sides. And if you didn't go with Team Blue, you might as well have been one of the people that stormed the Capitol that day. That's how vitriolic it got. And social media brings that out. You see a lot of the people that challenge you, Pete, on when you challenge Prue, and a lot of people defending Prue on social media, they still have the profile, the picture with, you know,
I got vaccinated.
The candidates for president. You know, and like I said, and it cuts both ways. If Dick Uihlein was, I wouldn't want Dick Uihlein running for mayor of Lake Forest either. Well, I guess
the point, you know, Pete, to disagree with what you said, social media and everything has changed things from when I was on the caucus. Absolutely. But you know what? It's actually a something that's good for the caucus to utilize. I mean, if I was a ward chair like I was and I was today, and I'm trying to fill spots on nine spots on the third ward, one of the first places I would look, if Pete Jansons is applying to be, you know, on the caucus committee, you know, would be looking at their social media, because the first thing is, you know, can you check your partisanship at the door? And some of these people that are out there posting all this stuff right away take themselves out of the game of being nonpartisan. And that's kind of where, you know, the caucus needs to be, and they're not. They're picking their friends that are, you know, because they're lazy and they don't want to go interview people and find people. So they're doing the
show. They don't have choices. Joe, how do we get more people to come out and vote? We'll end it there.
It's easier to vote in Illinois than any other state. I mean,
multiple times.
Yeah. That's Cook County. No, but you know,
we're talking 2,500 to 4,000 votes from there.
It's been pathetic. Now, I think the combination of this, simmering with Prue versus Randy, as well as the Lake Forest High School referendum, I suspect the turnout will be a little bit higher. But look, Chicago just had the vast majority of people in Chicago in that first runoff. Didn't vote in that. So,
moment of silence.
What's that?
Moment of silence. Lori Lightfoot. Okay.
But you may miss her after Brandon Johnson becomes mayor. But that's, but no, seriously, the, you know, I don't know. I because unless it's on Fox or MSNBC, most people don't pay attention anymore. We've become so in our little cable TV silos that, you know, people, there's a lot of people in this town included that know more about what's going on in Washington than they do in their own neighborhood, you know, and that's unfortunate. And you know,
that's what we're trying to do here.
Yeah, I know. I think this is a great, I think you guys doing this podcast is great. As Scu said, I think aldermen could use social media to their advantage. Too. So I just want everyone to know, look, like I said at the beginning, Prue has a right to run. Prue has a right to donate money to who she wants to donate, but I have a right to let the voters know about that and let them think about that as part of their decision-making process.
Yeah, we're vetting.
It should be more focused on Randy and the slate than giving Prue that time of day.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. That's absolutely right. I mean, Randy kind of, you know, and that's the shame of it. Like Randy, again, I don't know any of these guys. I hope to meet them. But Randy seems like a dedicated citizen. You know, he's an orthopedic surgeon. He clearly doesn't need to be doing this. I want to say to him, why do you want to take this beating from people online and all this, being accused of everything they're trying to accuse him of? But Randy followed the process that you have with the caucus. And I think Randy would continue that tradition of good government that Lake Forest has had for so many years.
Randy was asked to volunteer and be an alderman in the third ward, did a phenomenal job. Then he was asked a couple of years later, or whatever it was, to ask to interview and run for mayor. Didn't raise his hand and say, I want to be mayor. Was asked by the caucus as well as other people to say, you know, would you throw your hat in the ring? We'd like, you'd be a good candidate. And sure enough, he was, and he is. And that's what the community has to do. This is how our process is. It's worked this way. We, you know, you can vote for whoever you want. But
Joe, you want to know more about Randy? Monday, Duffers have a drink with around with Randy. Monday, March 13th, 4:30 to 6:30 at Duffers, 950 Northwestern Avenue. You know where that's down the road from, Scu?
My house.
The Lantern. You know who was at the Lantern last night? With really bad parking etiquette. Like Prue and Sue were having a little, you know, powwow.
Well, she posted that she was there. She put on there, hey, enjoying. She's doing the, which is a good politician thing to do. She's going around to all the different restaurants and shops and posting pictures. I bet she won't do one at Gerhard's.
when you're saying it was a bad parking job, she did the Lake Forest Park.
Well, he apparently like saw that she was there, and well, you.
What she did?
Well, you got the senator.
She was going north and decided to cross over the double yellow line because there was a parking spot on the south side, and she parked halfway into both spots. Is that what you're saying?
That's a Chicago parking job when you're a senator. How long you get to keep those plates, Joe? Forever?
Forever.
Wow. SSG.
That's power.
Yeah, with the special retired senator. She was in both the House and the Senate. She took over from the late, great Corrine Wood who was from Lake Forest,
right?
Who was the state rep, and then when Kareem became lieutenant governor, Garrett became the state rep, and then when they redistricted, I believe Susan Garrett beat Kathy Parker back in 02. But so, and then I think she was in there for 10 years.
I have no idea. Yeah, All I know is parking sucks in town, and then the senator takes up two spots with her Porsche. Is that what?
In front of a small business?
In front of a small business?
Oh, it's a Porsche? Well, the UAW is not going to like that if she was still in office. But
oh, say it ain't true, Sue. Say it ain't true.
I just look, people are free to do what they want, but then don't get all upset when other people say, hey, wait a minute, what's going on here? You're doing this and this and this. Let's please explain.
Yeah, answer the questions people are asking, not avoid them.
The questions still stand. Here, let's just sum up with the questions. Prue, if you would come on the show right now, you already took care of number one. You are partisan. You got rid of the nonpartisan. Thank you very much. Protecting the historic district. We have a question because of Walden. Is that correct?
I don't really care about that.
Oh, okay. Well, people that are living by the library.
I want to know why she subverted the process and told the caucus one thing and lied.
Okay. And then, having Susan Garrett go up to small businesses and make the threat that they're going to get a boycott if they don't take down Randy's sign. Is it true? Yes or no? Did Susan Garrett do that? All these people that I saw it myself and other people have messaged me, but I want to hear from Prue. Did Sue do that? I'd like to hear from Sue. Sue, you do all the talking when Prue comes under fire.
I was going to say, Prue's going to go, I don't know anything about that.
$1 million.
Susan needs to answer that. Why she feels she needs to do that.
She gave, just for the record, Prue gave Susan Garrett $4,000 in campaign donations over the years.
And of course.
Pay to play Prue.
Hey, Prue, if it's not true, Sue, if it's not true, come on the show, pay your due. Like that, Scoo?
Wow.
Guys, great job. Joe Weiss, thank you for coming on the Lake Forest Podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
Looking forward to seeing you at the Lantern. Maybe Prue and Sue will join us.
Yeah, right.
All right, gents, great job.
See ya.
All right.
The Lake Forest Podcast is supported by viewers, listeners, and businesses just like you. Make a memory of a lifetime with Shark Eye Outdoors out of Longboat Key, Florida. Experience their shark beach fishing, kayak tours, and fossil hunting. Go to sharkeyeoutdoors.com to schedule an outing now. Forest Bluff Real Estate Group serves Illinois, Wisconsin, Lake Forest, and Lake Bluff. John Josephitis, Laura Lee Van Fleet, and Michelle Parnell get a free market analysis now at forestbluffrealestate.com. For the best cannabis in the world, look no further than Iliad Epic Grow. Their cannabis cultivation center owned by Lake Bluff's own Rich Ruzich. They focus on hard-to-find small batch products that will delight both the occasional user and ganjier. When visiting Michigan, ask for it by name. Epic Products, exceptional process. Iliad Epic Grow. For more information, email info@iliadgrow.com. Havy Communications has been helping first responders arrive safely since 1983. It's owned by Lake Forest's own Mike Havy. Check them out at havycommunications.com.
Paul Hammond, candidate for Lake Forest Mayor, April 4th, 2023. He's a lifetime resident of Lake Forest, licensed professional engineer in Illinois, registered energy professional in Chicago, Purdue Electrical Engineering graduate, BSEE 1979, commodity trader for over 40 years. He's running on the issues of stopping the plastic grass in Lake Forest parks, because every 10 years the plastic field needs to be replaced because of deterioration and wear. Email paul.hammond.pe@gmail.com.
We'd also like to say that we're thankful for patron supporters, Reverend Luke Beck from the Church of the Holy Spirit, Matt A., Elizabeth C., Costa, Lance, Otto, RDM, John C., Dan Rogers, and Mike Adelman. Shout out to the Lake Forest Breakfast Group, Rod Stop in Kenosha, Captain Mike's Kenosha, Greentown Tavern in Waukegan, and the Frolic Lounge in Waukegan.